If you will open your Bibles to Hebrews 12, 12 through 29, I'll be reading in the New Living Translation. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter roots grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral, or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance, rights, and as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind. Though he sought the blessings with tears, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. To darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such voice speaking, words that those who heard it begged that no further would be spoken to them. Because they could not bear what was commanded, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight that was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, to judge of all men, of the spirit of righteous men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a bitterer word than to the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven?
We are blessed to have our speaker today, Manny Garcia. Manny is the pastor of Bangor Liberty Friends Church in Iowa. Manny and I went to school together. You were a year or two ahead of me. Looked up to him in college. We actually were in preaching class together. He graduated with his bachelor's and his master's here at Barclay and is now getting ready to embark on his Doctor of Ministry degree at George Fox Evangelical Seminary. So quite a journey ahead of him, and he's doing great and faithful ministry up in Iowa. So I'm glad you are down here to share with us today. So will you join with us in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and I ask your blessing on our speaker. May you speak through him your faithful words of hope and conviction and encouragement, and may we be open vessels ready to take in your words of truth, that we may be strengthened by your life-giving spirit, that we may go out and transform this world into a kingdom of heaven worthy of your return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor Manny Garcia.
Good morning. Lots changed since I was here last. I graduated in 2009, like Derek said, and we didn't have lion dancing, and Jared wasn't saying legit back then, so things are good. That video was pretty wild about the media center. I got saved twice watching it, so it was good stuff. So I don't know if I should preach or if we should just have Casey show that video one more time, but no, I'm glad to be here. Like Derek said, I went to school here with him for a couple of years. What he didn't say is that he actually won the preaching award while we were in preaching class together. So if you don't like his preaching, I apologize in advance. You're probably not going to like mine very much either. I'm Manny Garcia, 33 years old. I am the pastor at Bangor Liberty Friends Church in Union, Iowa. If you've never heard of it, that's for good reason. It's surrounded by cornfields. And my church is actually not even in Union. It's in the country next to Union. So I don't know how that works because Union is in the country, but if you go farther into the country, that's where I'm at. But we love it. God's doing some neat stuff there. We actually get the opportunity to serve a lot of small communities that surround us because we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, or as I say, we're in the middle of everywhere. We get to minister to lots of little communities around it. And actually, our congregation is made up of about 6 different communities that support Bangor Liberty and the ministry that we do there. So I'm excited to come here and spend time with you. I'll actually be here through Saturday. I'm going to run in the half marathon on Saturday. So I'm excited. If you see me around and want to visit, I'd be glad to get to know you better. So I want to start this morning by telling you a story, though. It's a story that I heard in the spring when I went to the Renovare National Conference. And it was told by Kyle Strobel, who you might recognize that last name. He's Lee Strobel's son. And so the story goes like this. There's a rabbi named Akiva who had been in the village to gather some supplies. Walking back to his cottage, he absentmindedly took the wrong path. Suddenly a voice came through the darkness. "Who are you, and why are you here?" Shocked to awareness, Akiva realized that he had wandered into the Roman military base, and the voice had come from a young sentry keeping guard. But being a rabbi, he answered the question with another question. "How much do they pay you to stand guard and ask that question of all who approach?" The sentry, now seeing that he was not an intruder, but a rabbi, answered gently, "5 drachmas a week, sir." At this point, the rabbi replied, "Young man, I will double your pay if you come with me, stand in front of my cottage, and ask me that question each morning as I begin my day. Who are you, and why are you here?" And that's the question I want to ask of you this morning. Who are you, and why are you here? As I was preparing this message and asking the Lord, what do you want me to share with the students of Barclay College? I was reminded of my time here. And who knows the mission statement of Barclay College? Like 4 people. Awesome. Well, the mission statement is to be prepared in a Bible-centered environment for effective Christian life, service, and leadership. So now you know. That's why you're here. Now, if you came here for any other reason than that, I have a feeling that you're going to be disappointed. Now, some of you might be here for different reasons. Maybe you came to play a sport. Maybe you came because, hey, it's free. I know when I was here, some people came to follow their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their best friend, or because their parents went here, or because their pastor or youth pastor went here. And so they thought, they seem like they've got a pretty good life. I'll check that out too. But the reality is it doesn't really matter why you came. Now that you're here, you fall under that umbrella that is the mission statement of Barclay College. You're here to be prepared for effective Christian life, service, and leadership. That's why you're at Barclay College. Now I want to take that question just a step further. Who are you and why are you here? Apply that to your life in Christ. Who are you in Christ and why are you here? I want to look today at the story that's often called the story of the prodigal son. I like to think of it more as the story of 2 sons, because it's really that second son that I want us to focus on this morning. You're all familiar with the story. It's in Luke chapter 15 if you want to flip to it. I'll just briefly summarize the younger son's journey. One day he gets a wild hair and decides to go to his father and say, "You know what, Dad? I've had enough of your junk. Give me what's mine and let me go do with it what I want." Which back then, in that culture, meant, "I kind of wish you were dead, Dad. I wish you were dead so that I could have what belongs to me." And so the father obliges the son, gives him his inheritance. The son goes off and squanders it, ends up living with the pigs. As he's sitting there wallowing in his own filth, he thinks back to his father's servants who whose life was better than his current situation and decides that he's going to go back to his dad, and at least his dad will let him be a slave. And well, y'all know the story. His dad sees him while he's still far off, and he runs to him. He restores his sonship. He says, "None of this slave business. You're my boy. Get him a robe, get him a ring, get him some sandals. Let's party." This is where we pick up the story. Verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never even gave me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Who are you and why are you here? Do you relate at all to that second son? What is it about a son? What can we do as sons and daughters to remove our sonship and become slaves? Because that's what happened. This first son physically walked away from the father. Physically left, physically squandered his inheritance. He physically rebelled. The second son stayed home and yet still found himself a slave because he rebelled in his heart. This is a story of grace. This is your and my story. See, as I was thinking back to my time at Barclay College, I remember coming here and going to class and thinking, I am the dumbest person in here. I'm the dumbest guy here. These guys are smart. And so rather than focusing on my life being prepared for effective Christian life, service, and leadership, I focused on being good enough. I focused on being that guy that could compete with the other people in my class so that I could look spiritual too, so that I could look smart too. And inside, I had turmoil. I had anger. I had frustration. I was a lot like that second son. Where's my party, God? Where's my experience? Maybe that's you today. Maybe you came here not realizing that you were coming to be prepared for effective Christian life, service, and leadership. And as that process begins to unfold in your life and everything about this school points you in that direction, and yet you want to go over here, you're getting frustrated. You're getting discouraged. You're getting angry. And you're asking God, where's my experience? Maybe in your walk with the Lord, you've got a great spiritual resume. Maybe you help in youth group. Maybe you play on the worship team. Maybe your devotional life is just amazing. And you never miss your Bible reading with the Lord. But there's something not clicking. You're missing out on something. And that thing you're missing out on is grace. I'm really glad that Robert read that verse this morning, and part of it just really stuck out to me. If I could find it here. "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." That's exactly what happened to the second son. He missed the grace of the father, and his bitterness bubbled up. Are you missing the grace of the father in your walk with the Lord? I mean, you're here at Barclay. You're getting a great biblical education. But are you being transformed? Are you investing in your walk with the Lord? I had people that I went to school with that spent their entire time here learning all the Bible knowledge. They learned how to do ministry. And they've all fizzled out now because they didn't grow. They had that barrier up. So how do we overcome that? How do we become vulnerable before God? For this, we have to go back and look at the first son. It's a matter of being clothed. It's a matter of being clothed. Think back to Adam and Eve. The very first instance of God's grace on mankind, he clothes Adam and Eve. They disobeyed. They wanted to be like God. They had one thing that they couldn't do, and they did it. But the first act of God's grace is to say, you know what? Those leaves that you've put together, that's not going to work. Here's some clothes. And what's the first thing that the Father does to the Son when he returns? Get him a robe. Get him a ring. Get him some sandals. He clothes him. And when we come to the Lord and allow ourselves to be undone before him, he clothes us in his grace and his righteousness. It's a painful process. It's a dangerous process. But it's only when we give ourselves to the Lord to be undone by him that we can experience the true peace and grace that come from a deep relationship with God. It's not surface anymore. It's not head knowledge anymore. It's not abstract. It becomes pragmatic. It becomes real. We can live it out. We can touch it. We can feel it. Fortunately for me, I discovered that early in my time here at Barclay. And I went from trying to be that guy that could keep up with all the smart kids in my class to just walking with God. And everything else kind of fell into place. No, I wasn't the smartest kid in every class, but that was okay. Because I knew, like the Father told the Son, I'm always with you, and everything I have is yours. You don't have to compete for me. You don't have to earn my favor. You don't have to earn my love. You already have it. I used to be able to come to Barclay and know everybody that I saw, and that isn't true anymore. I know a handful of people in this room, so I don't know what your life has been like, but I know that if I struggle with some of this stuff, there's probably some people in here struggling with some of this stuff. I want to encourage you that when you go to God, go as yourself. You can't pray as anyone but yourself. And yet we try to, don't we? We try to come to God, these spiritual giants that we think he wants us to be. But it's these people that Jesus is talking about when he says, I never knew you. We create this spiritual facade about ourselves and we present it to God like, is this what you're looking for? That's what that second son did. Dad, I never left. I slaved for you day in and day out. I did everything you wanted me to do. We approach God like that. God, I never left. Look at me, I'm at Bible college. I never miss Sunday morning service. I read my Bible every day. I pray to you every day. Where's my experience? Where's my party? He doesn't want us to pray as we think he wants us to be. He wants us to pray as we are, broken, sinful. If you're angry, pray as the angry person. If you're idolatrous, pray as the idolater. If you struggle with lust, pray out of that. Come to him as you are, not as you think he wants you to be. Be undone before God so that he can clothe you, so that he can restore you, so that you can get past that surface relationship and really, truly walk with Him in a transformative way. And then, the things that we often look to as signs of grace, which are the things that are results of grace, will no longer be our pursuit. Our pursuit will then be God. We won't chase the joy, we won't chase the hope, we won't chase the salvation. We'll chase God. We'll want more of God. And then the natural outflow of that are the gifts of His grace. The joy, the peace, the hope, the salvation, those come. But when we make them the goal, rather than the results of the goal, we fall short. We fall short in our relationship with Him, and we cannot be known, and we cannot know Him. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. Ask yourself that question: who am I, and what am I doing here? Who are you, and why are you here? And if you've never taken the time to be undone before God, I would encourage you to seek that out. Maybe for the first time ever, pray as you are instead of how you think you're supposed to be. It's scary, it's painful, but the results are so worth it. The idea of being that second son, of trying to be these things that we think God wants us to be, fall away. And there is less of a pressure in our relationship with Him, and we can just be with Him. And out of our being will come our doing, rather than the opposite way, which we tend to do that. That's what God's given me to share with you today. I'd like to pray for you if I can. You pray with me. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather with these new friends, some old friends. Lord, I pray that your word would fall on fertile soil. Lord, that you would remind each one here that you are always with them and everything that they have is yours. There's no means to earn it. There's no need to create ourselves into something that we think you desire. That we can truly just come to you as we are, and out of that, Lord, transformation will take place. Through walking with you, we will become who you created us to be. And Lord, out of our being with you will come our doing in the world. So Lord, I pray that you would just bless each one here, that they would take time soon to be undone by you, to become vulnerable before you so that they can be known and so that they can know you. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to know us, that you desire to be with us. All praise, honor, and glory to you. In Jesus' name.
Grace and peace. You're dismissed.